Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah, good to be diving in.
Today, we're continuing our journey with the RAFT of recovery framework, you know, RAFT.
That holistic approach we've been exploring.
Exactly. And specifically, we're heading to the Island of Grounded Mindfulness and really getting into Chapter 10, which is titled Mindfulness of the Reality of the Body.
Right. And our, let's call it our mission today, is to unpack a practice that, well, it can sound pretty challenging initially.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's about observing the body's impermanence, its composite nature, and yes, even its less pleasant aspects. Foulness, unattractiveness, the text uses these kinds of terms.
Okay.
But it's crucial to say this isn't about self-criticism. It's about seeing how facing this complete reality can actually give us tools, real benefits for navigating life and especially recovery.
So confronting the, well, the tough stuff about our bodies, that's somehow a path to freedom. Seems counterintuitive.
It really does, doesn't it? But let's see how the sources explain it.
Okay, so unpacking that phrase, mindfulness of the reality of the body, it means going beyond just like the surface image.
Totally. It's recognizing it's always changing, impermanent. Aging, getting sick, healing, constantly in flux.
And the composite part.
Meaning it's not one solid thing. It's, you know, organs, blood, bones, systems working together. A collection of parts, not some unchanging me.
Right. And then there's the less pleasant aspects, fatigue, illness, waste, eventually decay. The full picture, warts and all.
Exactly. The unvarnished truth, which sounds heavy.
It does. But the material argues there are real practical benefits, especially for addiction recovery.
Yeah, and one fascinating angle is how this directly pushes back against idealizing pleasure.
How so?
Well, addiction so often involves chasing intense physical feelings, right? Those highs. But if you start to deeply feel and observe the way sensations just come and go in the body, even intense cravings, you see they're temporary. They rise, they peak, they fall away.
Okay. So it undermines that illusion that happiness comes from constantly getting that specific physical state.
Precisely. You see the fleeting nature. Like the Buddha observed, even with all the luxury, the highs of youth or health don't last. There's an underlying dissatisfaction if that's all you chase.
Okay, I get that conceptually undermining the chase.
Yeah.
But how does this body awareness, like, actually reduce the force of a craving when it hits that raw physical pull?
It's about changing the relationship. When you can witness a craving, that intense physical urge just arise and fall without immediately jumping on the thought of I need this or I have to make this stop.
You don't feed it.
Exactly. You don't add that extra fuel. The illusion that it must be satisfied or that it will last forever starts to weaken. By seeing the body more objectively, this temporary collection of parts prone to change, decay our intense attachment to it and its desires lessens.
So the clinging eases off.
That's the idea. The grip loosens.
But I still wonder, focusing on the unpleasant stuff, doesn't that risk making someone feel worse, especially if they're already struggling, say, with withdrawal?
That's a really fair question. It's definitely not about wallowing. It's more like resilience training.
Okay.
By gently, objectively looking at these realities, sickness, aging, etc., we build our capacity to just be with discomfort without that immediate panicked need to escape.
Distress tolerance.
Exactly. Vital for writing out cravings, withdrawal, tough emotions. It's a kind of radical acceptance that, weirdly, gives you more freedom, not less.
It also makes me think how much we swing between idealizing our bodies and punishing them, often based on how others see us. This objective observation seems to cut through that.
It really does. That focus on appearance, on external validation, it can be such a huge trigger, right? Driving that cycle of looking outside for approval or comfort. This practice shifts the focus inward. Appreciating the body's function, its reality, helps cultivate inner resources like calm or self-compassion instead of always needing that external fix, which is never really stable anyway.
And the last point mentioned in the source, gaining perspective on mortality. Heavy, but important.
Absolutely crucial. Gently contemplating the body's impermanence, its eventual end. It sounds grim, but it can bring incredible clarity.
How so?
It helps clarify values, what really matters. Facing mortality can motivate us to live more fully, more meaningfully, especially in recovery. Focusing on what's genuinely important, not just distractions or harmful loops, it adds a kind of urgency to living well.
So putting it all together, this practice, which seems difficult on the surface facing the body's full reality, is actually presented as a way to get free.
Yeah, dismantling that chase for fleeting pleasure.
Disarming cravings.
Building resilience to discomfort.
Shifting focus inward, clarifying values. It's quite profound when you lay it out.
It really is a deep reset.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening.
Yeah, maybe reflect on this. How often do you find yourself reaching for something external? A substance, food, shopping, endless scrolling, whatever it is, to manage discomfort or chase a good feeling?
That quick fix impulse.
Right. And then consider, how might cultivating a more objective, honest view of your own body, its impermanence, its functions, its vulnerabilities, its whole reality, how might that actually change your relationship with those uncomfortable feelings or those intense cravings? Just something to sit with.